Hey there, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Disciple Making Church podcast. I am Mike Keaton. I am part of the Impact team here at ImpactDisciples.com. And we are talking about disciple making, all things disciple making. I am joined again with Pastor Ken Adams, founder of Impact Ministries and lead pastor of Crossroads Church. And we are so appreciative of you tuning in to these podcasts and letting us share with you some of the things that we're learning and have learned. And that's why we do this. It's for you and to help build God's kingdom through the mission of disciple making. And so, Ken, we have been talking about the values of a disciple making church. And so if you are just maybe tuning in today for the first time and have not heard those, we're in a little bit of a series here talking about the values of a disciple-making church. And so we've done several of those already. I think this is the fourth installment of that series. And so we'd like to encourage you to go back and listen to those. You can find those at ImpactDisciples.com. But today we're going to continue that with another one of those values on a topic that's pretty dear to our hearts around here in our church at Crossroads, but also in a disciple-making church, and that is in the context of small groups. So we're going to be talking about that today, Ken. So why don't you start us off and kind of just share a little bit about that, and we'll get going here.
One of the reasons we're talking about values is that values are important in every church, but particularly we want the right values to be in place for a disciple-making church. And so here's what happens a lot of times is that churches will sometimes, you know, they might split over personalities or differences or different approaches to ministries, but a lot of times they will divide or they'll split over values more so than they will over beliefs or, you know, even, you know, just government and those kinds of things. There's a lot of reasons that we want to talk about values because it's so important to the unity of a church. You got to have the right values. That's key for a church. And so one of those values that we've lived by for the whole, you know, 34 years that our church has existed is this value of prioritizing small groups. And so that's what we want to talk about today. And actually, a few months ago, we did a whole series on our values. And I thought a great place to begin, Mike, would be just to see a short clip as I talked about the priority of small groups in a weekend service. And so take a quick look at this clip, and then we'll come back. We'll talk more about that.
What Jesus did, his plan, Jesus's plan to change the world, because he is the only one that can make a difference. And his plan to get the message of redemption to everybody is that it started with a small group of 12, and he was going to turn their lives upside down so that when he sent them out, they would turn the world upside down. And that's exactly what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17. So what Jesus did is that he radically changed over a period of 3 years by being with... How many of you know if you spend 3 years with Jesus, you'll be different? Come on, ain't that right? So he spent 3 years with them, and then he sent them out so that they would change the lives of other people, and they did, and that is the reason you're sitting here today. Because if they had refused to do that, if they had said to Jesus, you know what, we're not going to multiply, we're not going to birth any new groups, we like it the way we got. We got our holy huddle and we're happy. You wouldn't be sitting here today. And you wouldn't be spending the rest of eternity in heaven. He was counting on those 12. Jesus did something. These guys started out. They were untrained, ordinary men. And they went farther and they went faster because he took them into a small group for 3 years. If you want to go farther and faster in your faith, you ought to be a part of a small group.
Ken, that was a great word that you shared with our church, and I'm sure our viewers are going to appreciate everything you shared there, but why don't you kind of just launch into that a little bit further? You know, we always talk about how we're trying to do our best to flesh out the mission of Jesus in our day and time, in our current context, and we always try to follow the methodologies of Jesus.
That's right.
And so you actually say a lot of times at our church that everybody needs to be in a small group. Now, why is that?
Yeah. Well, I've said it 1 or 2,000 times,
at least.
And so we do say it a lot. And I will say this, Mike. One of the things that I learned very early on when I was just starting out as a church planter and trying to get our church started, I heard somebody say that there is a difference between a small group church and a church with small groups. And that just, man, that just made all the difference in the world for me, because I began to realize is that we could either be, you know, this program mindset church, and we could have small groups kind of as an add-on that you could get in or not get in, or we could be a church that literally is built around small groups. And so if you look at Jesus, as you mentioned, that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus really did all of the ministry in his time here on this earth, either in a large group or in a small group, or he was taking guys out in ministry experiences, right?
Right.
Kind of maybe like mission trips, you could say.
Right.
And so if you think about that, then we as a church today, we want our church to be built on that same concept. We want our church to be built the way Jesus built his movement. And so we have large group environments on our weekend, but then we have small group environments all throughout the week, where really and truly that's where we do life together. That's where we grow together, challenge each other, love each other, pray for each other. All those things happen just like it did with Jesus, because Jesus started and built his movement in the context of a small group. That's where he helped untrained, common, ordinary men become fully trained, fully trained disciples that had his character and his conduct. So, yeah, exactly right. We just feel like that this value of prioritizing small groups, it is really central to all that we do. It's not something that is just an add-on to just keep people busy. Actually, it's a part of the process that we're trying to help people go from our weekend crowd, the large group, into a small group. It's so important. It's actually a part of membership here in our church.
Yeah, we've done these podcasts, Ken, on strategy before, and what does that look like? And so really, it's a piece of the process.
Yeah.
It's a piece of the strategy.
Right.
It's not, like you said, it's not a program that you just added on. So that's the difference between of and with.
Right.
Yeah, so that's good. So how do we see that fleshing out? I mean, obviously, it didn't stop with Jesus.
Right.
So the early church.
Right.
Immediately began to, you know, install that whole process with them as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And we see it in Acts chapter 2. Right. It's very clear that the Bible says is that they met together in two ways. They met in the temple court, and then they met from house to house. And so what we know is that there's some things you can do in a large group that you can't do in a small group. There's some things you can do in a small group you can't do in a large group, right? Mm-hmm. And so obviously worship and preaching and those kinds of things are better suited for a large group environment. In the New Testament, they had 3,000 people on right after Pentecost, the first day the church started. They had a huge crowd of people. And so they definitely needed to go to the temple court for some large group things, but they also were able to really do so many things in those house groups, in those small groups that met in those homes. They really had life-on-life interaction where they really were caring for one another. They were devoted to the study of the apostles' teaching. They were praying and having fellowship. All that's recorded in Acts chapter 2. And that model has truly become the model for our church today. So what we do here at Crossroads, Mike, is, as you know, is that we try to help people move into a small group, but we have several different types of small groups. We actually have what we call recovery groups or support groups. And those are for people who maybe they're going through a tough time in life, maybe they're having some difficulties or broken or need some healing and that kind of thing. And so we've got a number of different support groups, everything from addiction support to divorce care, that kind of thing. A lot of different types of small groups that people can get in. And then we have what we call community groups. And community groups are really just these kind of like Bible discussion. We care for one another, love one another. We encourage one another. We fellowship together. But they're pretty much general Bible study type groups. Always God's Word central to every group we have.
For sure.
And so those can be couple groups. They can be singles groups. It doesn't matter. But those are more of kind of the beginning, you know, step into a community group or to a small group. And then we have what we call impact groups. Impact groups are really where we are helping train people for ministry. And that's where our impact groups are really where disciple making happens. And that becomes a pipeline for leadership in our church.
That's
so,
right. So
we do have really those three groups. And then we have some outreach groups that we call discovery groups. But that sort of frames up how we do Acts chapter 2 in our current day concept. We are honestly trying to get larger and smaller at the same time.
And that's why we say this value is small groups prioritized, because you have to have that priority on those options to help people get into that vein and flow of growth. And so what would you say to the viewer out there who maybe they don't have a structure of small groups?
Yeah.
Maybe they have Sunday school.
Yeah.
How would they go about maybe implementing,
You
know, what's the difference maybe between that environment versus disciple-making small groups?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yeah. So, man, great question, man. And so much to unpack on this particular idea. But I would offer just a couple of things. First of all, is that, you know, small group can be a Sunday school class. It's not so much, you know, the location or the day as it is what you're trying to accomplish inside that group. The only thing I would say about a Sunday school class is sometimes a Sunday school class is just more content driven, mm-hmm. where it's just sort of teacher driven. And what we're trying to do in small groups is we're trying to make it, you know, there is content, but it's more discussion based, mm-hmm. more sharing and accountability and prayer and those kinds of things. So, so you do have to have a shift in mindset, right, on what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Not so much being on a Sunday morning in a church campus, that kind of thing. It can be that.
It
can be a Sunday morning small group, but it is a mindset of what are we trying to accomplish there and what do we want that environment to feel like and to look like.
Right, which goes back to the process
right. And
it being a church of groups versus a church with groups. So.
And I would just jump in here, Mike, and say this, that, you know, that when Jesus, you know, Jesus just had one type of small group, right? And that small group would be, it started with what we would call more of a community group. So he was drawing these people into really just relationship.
Right.
But he was strategically shifting from just relationship to ministry training.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't create two different groups for that. That is kind of what we do. We have community groups, and then we invite people eventually to get an impact group. He just did them together.
Right.
He just did them together. He just invited people into community, and then he eventually communicated to them the things that they needed to know to be able to go out and to accomplish the mission. And that's probably even a better way of doing it
mm-hmm.
today, if we could just make it fit into people's schedules and lifestyles and all that kind of stuff. So that's a big challenge.
Yeah.
I would say too that if you are just trying to start, what we did 34 years ago is we just took I just picked three couples that were spiritually qualified, that had the leadership qualifications. We started meeting together and we made a small group. And after we met for a while, we actually our group time was talking about what a small group ought to look like and what it ought to be like. And then from there, we launched our small groups, invited people in our crowd and our congregation to go join a small group. We immediately went from just four couples to four different small groups that were all with, you know, so we immediately, you know, quadrupled the size of the number of people by opening those doors. And so, I would say if you don't have small groups, the way to start is to just grab some qualified people. We actually have some curriculum to help people, a little small group essentials book that will help get started, start those groups, and then eventually birth those groups. And then at some point you want to develop a level of that, which is developing a core for ministry, and that would be, your discipleship DNA, if that makes sense.
That's good. And that's some of the stuff we do, is we can also come alongside you and help you kind of contextualize it in your environments as well. Some of the stuff we'll do, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Before we go there, Ken, and before we finish up today, just wanted to speak to a little bit to, you know, maybe an objection or two that people sometimes give to small group and being in a small group. We hear sometimes even in our environments of how people just, oh, I don't have time for that or whatever. But I've heard you mention before that, you know, and it's true that we all do have a value within us where we do value the small group idea, even in other areas and facets of life. So why don't you speak to that real quick, and then we'll try to give some our viewers some direction.
Yeah. That's a good point. And the reality is that we all have small groups in our life. They just might be in different areas, right? Mm-hmm. So we might have picked a group of people that we do life with, but they may not necessarily be focused on spiritual things and focused on spiritual growth. And so, you know, if you think about it, we look at our kids and we want to have our kids in a school or in a classroom with the smallest teacher-pupil ratio we can get. You don't want to send your child to school with 100 other students. You know, if you're trying to learn an instrument, you want maybe a private lesson or one on two or three. You don't want to be in a whole class. I mean, it's just, it just doesn't work, right? And so if we have that same concept for other areas of growth in our life, why wouldn't we also want that for spiritual growth in our life?
Or even more so.
Even more so, right. Yeah. So again, you started it off the right way. If Jesus is our model, how do we not want small group to be a part of our lives?
Right. We can also come alongside you and help you in all kind of other ways. Where we do consulting, where we do seminars, all kind of different things like that. All that is available at impactdisciples.com. And if there's any other way that we can be of help and service to you in your ministry context, in the context of disciple making, we're willing to share. Just let us know. Reach out to us. You can like this, share it out there with all your friends. And if there's any way we can come alongside you, we're here to do that. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you next time.